Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, my full reviews of WWE SmackDown and 205 Live, details on Daniel Bryan working as a special referee following last night's SmackDown Live, and much more. Coming up after the break for .net members, my full review of last night's WWE SmackDown television show. A couple of quick notes before we get into things. Thursday will be the WWE earnings report day. Vince McMahon will be hosting a conference call at 10 Central, 11 Eastern. I'll be getting up early tomorrow to get the details out about the quarterly report. It's the year-end for 2016 fourth quarter report. And the new WWE network number will be available as part of that. So look for that on Thursday morning at ProWrestling.net. And then the live coverage of the Vince McMahon and George Berrios quarterly conference call. They will be taking calls from people within the financial industry. You never know what they're going to ask. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's, it's a bunch of numbers that fly over my head and different corporate terms and things like that. You never quite know, but we can find out together. You can join me for live coverage, 10 Central, 11 Eastern time at ProWrestling.net on Thursday. Also, Jake Barnett and I will get together on Thursday afternoon for the .NET Weekly audio show. We will be breaking down anything coming out of the Vince McMahon conference call and the quarterly numbers, including that network number that we find interesting, and discussing all the news of the week. We will also look ahead to Sunday's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Be sure to join me for live coverage of that, beginning with the needlessly long one-hour kickoff show. I will be covering that, and then, of course, the pay-per-view. And then Jake and I get together again. I'm putting Jake through hell here. Jake will be joining me on Sunday night as he does for the WWE pay-per-views. That one will be available also exclusively for members. Very quickly, if you're interested in membership, main page, once you're there, sign-up area, once you get in there, three different pricing options at ProWrestling.net. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can save yourself some money by signing up for either 6 month or the annual option. The annual option brings the price down to an average of $5.50 per month. As usual, if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or email me directly, dotnetjason@gmail.com. All right, let's get into SmackDown. We got all the business out of the way. We're going straight through with nothing but SmackDown talk. The show was in Seattle, Washington at Key Arena, and so the crowd was pretty fired up for Daniel Bryan. Before we got to him, they gave us a video package kind of spotlighting Randy Orton and John Cena through the years and trying to play this up as a legendary feud. I remember Orton saying last week on Talking Smack that it's a match that he thinks that he and John Cena feel people want to see, even if they don't know it. Whatever. The broadcast team was Mauro Ranallo, JBL, David Otunga, and Tom Phillips. Then Daniel Bryan made his entrance. Huge ovation from the home state fans. They chanted his name. He talked about last time he was there, he had to make the most difficult announcement of his life. That theme, of course, was how grateful he was for various things as well. And then he kind of continued that. He said he's grateful for the opportunity to be general manager of SmackDown Live. Grateful that he gets to go to Seattle and try to give those fans the best show possible. And also grateful that soon, very soon, I'm going to be a dad. He also said on Talking Smack that Brie did not visit the building, apparently, because Renee Young was saying that she was hoping that she would get to see her. They had a baby moon. He explained that it's like a honeymoon. It's something you do, you know, you kind of spend the day together kind of a thing, or evening, whatever the case may be. Because for the next 18 months, they're not going to have any alone time. So there you go. Check out John Morse, Talking Smack Recap at ProWrestling.net for all the details on Talking Smack. Miz ended up interrupting Daniel Bryan. He and Maryse came out. Really good heat for this. They didn't play up Daniel Bryan's homecoming. I don't know if they were leery of doing it because he has missed some shows lately. I don't know if it was planned absences or if it was just kind of based around the pregnancy and certain commitments he had there. I'm not quite sure. So that, you know, if it was, well, he's had some planned absences, we better not play this up. Otherwise, they should have been. They should have made a big deal out of, hey, for the first time, Daniel Bryan's going back to Seattle. I know he had John Cena and Randy Orton. This was more appealing to me, and I wasn't even thinking about it. But Miz coming out, great work there, just given the tension they've had on their Talking Smack and on the actual SmackDown shows. And then He talked about how Daniel Bryan had to retire, and he said that told Bryan to do something his talents are suited to by becoming a stay-at-home dad. He asked why he was even there, and then he pointed out, "You can't wrestle anymore. I don't even know why you're in a WWE ring." And Bryan had a great comeback, saying that not being able to wrestle has never stopped Miz from getting in the ring. The fans love that. Yes, Chance. Miz, a rare case where he seemed to get a little flustered. I don't know. He may have just been trying to wait out the chance. He tried to counter them a couple of times. Nothing worked. This crowd absolutely loved Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan doing nothing to stop the crowd, just laughing as Miz was struggling with the crowd. And then Miz ended up asking if they thought they were funny, and they chanted yes. Well, Baron Corbin came out, and he told Miz that he should learn when to shut up. Said he talked too much on commentary last week, and he was talking too much again. Miz tried to basically form an alliance with Baron Corbin, saying that they could help each other during the Elimination Chamber match, and they could take out everyone else and then let the best man win when it came down to the two of them. Corbin said, well, he could also take out Miz right now, and then he wouldn't even have to hear his mouth once he becomes champion, referring to himself as champion. Miz asked Bryan if he was going to let him talk that way, and Bryan says, "Oh, no, Baron, please don't punch Miz in the face. That would be terrible." Great stuff from Daniel Bryan again. Dean Ambrose came out and talked about how Miz and Corbin are cute together. All of this led to AJ Styles coming out, which also, I mean, basically, long story short on this is Daniel Bryan ended up booking a four-way main event as kind of a preview for the Elimination Chamber. And there was a, they ended up, I think they had a big brawl at the end of this, if memory serves. One of the funny things about AJ Styles in this segment was that the fans were chanting Styles, and he told them to shut up. I like that. A heel who isn't just embracing the chants and thinking it's cool that fans are chanting his name. Simple and effective. So, yeah, he said that four-way match. Daniel Bryan announced the four-way match, said it would start immediately. And the four-way match resulted in Baron Corbin beating AJ Styles, The Miz, and Dean Ambrose in roughly 13:30. I had a little bit of issue with the timer. I'm never at the right spot on. I always kind of round up anyway, but I'm guessing it was around 13:30. I think I had to rewind or something. I don't remember what the hell happened, but I was doing the live review of this show because Jake Barnett needed to have the evening off, but he will be back doing live coverage next week. Look for his SmackDown hit list a little bit later today, also at ProWrestling.net. But the finish of this, he ended up with, well, first you had Styles hitting a phenomenal forearm on Miz. Miz pulled to ringside, though, by Maryse, so nice touch there. And then with Styles distracted by that, Corbin hit End of Days and pinned him. So Styles taking the loss. And here's the thing about AJ losing. Does this change anything with AJ? No, not a little bit. I just would like to see AJ positioned as a guy who loses so infrequently that, I mean, he's, if you want to make him a heel, if you want to keep him a heel, that's fine. But make him a respectable heel in that it's, yeah, he rarely loses. When he loses, it's a huge deal. And granted, he's just coming off a championship reign. If they're going to do something with this with Baron Corbin, fine. But I just kind of get the sense that, well, it gives him a little, it props him up a little going into the show. And again, AJ doesn't lose anything here. He's still AJ Styles. I just want to see him positioned as strongly as possible. When you beat AJ Styles, that should be a huge moment. And I didn't feel like this was. So that was my only real issue with that. They had Luke Harper. He was on a set. They had some hanging light bulbs. And he brought up an old saying about a man who has nothing left to lose is most dangerous. And he asked about, what about a man who never had anything to begin with? And then he talked about how Orton stole his family and is a liar. And he said that he's seen the snake in the grass for too long and he knows how to fix it. And he said, cutting the head off the viper is too easy. No, I want to hurt you, he said. I want you to feel pain. And he said that Orton would be eliminated at Elimination Chamber, which was like, well, neither guy's in the chamber match. And we did find out later that will be Harper and Orton one-on-one on the chamber show. The broadcast team spoke about that for a little bit, and then Tom Phillips welcomed Nikki Bella and Natalya, and noted that they were both like you know, somewhere backstage, but they were in separate locations because of how personal their feud has become. And he asked if they could ever be friends again. Like, What? That's the question. Nikki said that Natty know, that the Natty she knows and loves is dead to her. Natalia said they were never friends, and Nikki only has followers. And this ended up with Nikki saying that she's a crazy cat lady. Natalia getting kind of personal, and so, well, she really got personal, saying that. That talking about Nikki's neck and how John Cena's not going to have time to nurse her back to health this time once she's done with her because he's champion now, and said that John will move on to another woman who is better than Nikki. And Natalya said Cena would probably end up with her if she wasn't married. And then Nikki ended up walking off the interview set. I don't know. I mean, they continued this on Talking Smack, and there was it looked really good. I mean, Natalya had Nikki down and kind of catapulted her into the bottom of the set, and it looked really good. And Nikki sold it well, maybe because it really hurt. I couldn't really tell. So she did an effective job there. They've had these brawls. They've had, Natalya say personal things. I'm just not feeling this one. If you are, cool, but I just can't say that this one has really done much for me. Maybe it's too similar to what they did with Nikki and Carmella, and I actually enjoyed that program. And it just kind of feels like this is not a watered down. It hasn't hit me the same way yet. I like Nikki and Carmella more than I've liked Nikki and Natalya. That said, I think Nikki and Natalya can have better matches. So we'll see. Maybe they can win me over on Sunday at the Chamber if they go that far. Again, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Nikki and her neck. Does she go through with the match? Was the what the angle they did on Talking Smack a way to get out of that? Just I guess we'll see. There was no anything. There was nothing announced on Talking Smack, so I assume the match is on until we hear otherwise. The second match was Apollo Crews beating Dolph Ziggler in 105. He blocked a super kick and then rolled up Ziggler and pinned him. And the gimmick is that Ziggler freaks out when he loses. He ended up attacking Crews afterward, hit him with the chair. Fans were so anti-Dolph and into him as a heel that they were chanting one more time. Wow. Kalisto ran out. He ducked a chair swing from Dolph, roughed up Dolph briefly. Ziggler ended up blocking Kalisto's finisher and then hit him with the chair. And then he looked at Cruz. Fans picked up the one more time chant again, and Ziggler obliged. Why? This one, boy, this is doing nothing for me. And when they turned Dolph, it was like, hey, good. Let's see what they got here. This guy's been playing this bad babyface character for so long. I was really hoping to get an overhaul. We've already learned like cutting his hair probably isn't the best idea, but let's get rid of the cheesy poppy theme song that my girlfriend likes way too much, and I just like cringe whenever I don't even think she I think she knows who Dolph Ziggler is, but yeah, she hears the theme song and she likes the song. I'm like, oh God, that tells me everything I need to know. She likes some good music, but no, I hate that damn song. And but yeah, I mean, I was just hoping we get an overhaul. He still wears pink. It comes out to the same damn theme song. He still loses a lot of matches, or at least as many as he wins. The only difference is he flips out afterward. Anyway, so we'll get back to that later because they did make an announcement. We had a Black History Month video package on Rosa Parks. The narrators were Mark Henry. The second guy was the guy that I couldn't identify on Raw the night before. It's Apollo Crews. My God, does this man look different with like fully clothed, I guess. I feel like, is it like one of the guys from Men on a Mission? What the hell is this? And no, it's Apollo Crews. Darren Young, Alicia Fox, and Rich Swann. And they went to a commercial. Ziggler was shown walking backstage when Daniel Bryan approached him and asked him what the hell he was doing. And Bryan asked if he was going to throw tantrums every time he lost. Ziggler said he can beat both men, but beating them with a chair is more fun. And Bryan said, well, if you can beat both men, how about this? And he put him in a handicap match. That's right, the heel Ziggler facing two baby faces in a handicap match at Elimination Chamber. Weird. I was wondering where they're going. It's like, well, a three-way would be awkward in that there's really no issues between Cruz and Kalisto. So it would seemingly be a handicap match because they'd both just go after Ziggler if they did, I mean, just given how tense this has been. But no, they went with the handicap match where it's not like Ziggler is Braun Strowman, this is strange. From there, we went to the top of the second hour, and it was Renee Young hosting a dual contract signing for Alexa Bliss and Naomi's match, and also Mickey James and Becky Lynch. So as expected, they did add that to the show. If Nikki is healthy and works her match, well, whether she's healthy or not, if she works her match, they don't pull that one for the reasons I mentioned. They're going to have three women's matches on this show, and as I mentioned last night, I think that got to be a record for a WWE pay-per-view. I can't think of any other show where they would have had three women's matches over the years. If anyone can knows better, please let me know. But no, I mean that's cool. I think the women are doing they're helping on SmackDown, especially fill the void. You know, there's just it's not a deep roster. You have a bunch of tag teams that they don't know what to do with, but there's not like that deep singles pool of male wrestlers. And the women, you know, it's like there's basically six of them, and they're going to end up getting Tamina coming in. She's advertised as being a babyface, you know, working on the babyface team for an eight-woman tag match at MSG, so she'll be back soon, I would think. They still have Eva Marie out there somewhere, you know, when she's not making movies, so there's still things they can do. You know, there's still some others out there, but it's mostly six women, and they're kind of mixing and matching as far as the feuds go. They obviously added Mickey James, and so, yeah, I mean, I think it's great that they're going to have three women's matches on Sunday. We'll get to it here. I was going to say I'm into Mickey James and Becky Lynch. They help with it to some extent. They did give Mickey some promo time. She just talked about waiting 7 years to get back, and it was kind of an extension of what she talked about in her return promo, where she blamed Becky Lynch basically for taking credit as like for the women's revolution that she started back in the day, and if it wasn't for her, there would be no Becky. And there's still, I don't know, there's something missing here from Mickey's promo. And I think Mickey's a really good talker. But I don't know what there was just something that, I'm looking forward to the match. And I think these two can have a really good match together. But this kind of felt like a long-winded repeat of what she said the first time. And I was hoping for a little bit more. Becky had a good comeback here. She said no one's trying to erase her accomplishments, and she respected her accomplishment, but then she teamed up with that little troll talking about Alexa Bliss, and Lynch said that James walked away when it got tough, and now she returned with a chip on her shoulder, and Becky said she is going to walk through James and slap her back into the past. I like that last line. Then Bliss took her turn and told Lynch to show some respect for a woman who beat Trish Stratus at WrestleMania. Then she kind of turned her focus. Well, she also said that Lynch's veins are filled with toxic, cheap orange hair dye. And Bliss also said that the title being on her shoulders means it's her division. She ended up signing the contract and then picked up the mic and said, "Oh, sorry, I forgot about you, Naomi. I'll beat you on Sunday." So she's completely just downplaying Naomi, trying to get under her skin that way. I thought that was great. Naomi then talked about how she wants to win the championship. They're only 2 wins away from WrestleMania, or 2 months away from Mania, and it's in her hometown of Orlando. And she said there's no way she's going to let anyone take away her dream of going down the aisle at WrestleMania in Orlando as SmackDown's Women's Champion. And then Naomi signed her contract and then threw a kick at Bliss over the table. And we had the women brawling. Babyfaces cleared the ring pretty quickly and stand tall to end the segment. I liked what Naomi had to say because she mentioned it on Talking Smack last week, and maybe I just kind of was half listening to that to her interview, but it came through loud and clear this time that the fact that she's from Orlando, and because last week I'm like, what is she? Elimination Chamber's not in Orlando. I should have made the connection, but no, she's talking about WrestleMania, and it did leave me thinking now that she mentioned it on SmackDown. Not that I suddenly think she's going to win, but I think there's a much better chance. You know, I was assuming, well, Bliss is going to retain and we'll go from there. And now it's like, well, there's the hometown factor. So at least it planted that seed with me. I guess I still lean Bliss, but had you asked me before this promo, I would have been like, I think Bliss is going to retain. So yeah, I mean, just playing up that whole hometown angle for WrestleMania was a nice touch. They showed American Alpha backstage, and then they hyped the 12-man tag match for after the break, and they went to a commercial. Coming out of the break, it was, the 12-man tag. Actually had the result listed wrong, but I had it right as far as through the description of the match. It was the team of the Ascension, the Vaudevillains, and the Usos defeating American Alpha, Tyler Breeze, and Fandango in 9:45. Crowd really into Rhino. They really wanted Rhino, and he ended up taking the pin. He was gored by Connor, and then Victor hit Rhino with a flying knee from the second rope for the win. This one, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they have something and they want to try to do more with the Ascension. I kind of just looked at it like, oh, they wanted to kind of surprise us and try to build up the Ascension a little bit heading into this this tag team turmoil match coming up on Sunday, which I think is essentially a tag team gauntlet match, if memory serves the turmoil rules. Like, I kind of forget, especially when it involves a bunch of tag teams that I mostly don't care about. I mean, it was weird seeing Tyler Breeze and Fandango on the babyface side. I don't think they've turned. I think it's just, well, they had a shortage and someone, they wanted to have a 12-man tag and they didn't have enough babyface teams to go around. But yeah, I mean, they tried to do a little something with the Ascension. Didn't do anything for me, but I guess it's going to take them winning the championships or something like that before I'm going to look at them any differently. It's going to take more than a win of a 12-man tag match. I mean, this is, this is what you'd get on a kickoff show. I think we've gotten, some variation of these teams all competing in some big 10-man tag or something like that. It just, yeah, it or 12-man tag. We probably got the 12-man tag on the SmackDown kickoff show, and really the tag team turmoil match because they're doing such a lousy job with the tag division. Feels like it belongs on the kickoff show. Alpha's better than this. The Usos are better than this. Breeze and Fandango with a different gimmick are better than this. They're just trying to get the Vaudevillains and the Ascension and Rhino and Slater. They're trying to get them on the show is the way I look at this. And I don't. I think it's coming at the expense of having a good quality tag team division. There's no reason that we can't be getting the Usos facing American Alpha for the tag team championship on a regular basis. I don't understand it. They haven't even really gone to it. It's a feud they've teased a couple of times and then pulled back. And I know the Usos, there was an injury there at one point. Whatever. You've had plenty of time to get back to it. This is just a waste. American Alpha doesn't mean nearly as much as they should. They're American Alpha. Sometimes you see them on SmackDown, sometimes you don't. Then we had the broadcast team talking, Tom Phillips congratulating David Otunga on his guest starring role on Criminal Minds this week. I think that show, I think it airs tonight or Thursday. I think it's tonight. I'm not a Criminal Minds viewer, but it's a CBS show. So if you want to see David Otunga, that's a place. And it was funny, they were showing the footage. And at first it was like, it was all behind Otunga. And I'm like, is this some cameo or like, it could be, if they didn't tell you it was Otunga, you might not even notice. They did finally spin around, and you could, they had the volume turned down very quietly, but yeah, you could actually see him speaking. So he has a speaking role. I don't know if it lasts any longer than the clip they showed, or if it's like a full-on role, but yeah, good for him either way. He's on Criminal Minds if you want to check it out. No, we will not be doing live Criminal Minds coverage tonight. The broadcast team spoke briefly about the Rock and Roll Express entering the Hall of Fame, and then we got a video package that kind of recapping Cena beating Styles to win the championship at the Rumble, and then leading into the Elimination Chamber match. Then John Cena made his entrance, the usual John Cena sucks chant, kind of the sing-along from the adult males, and then Greg Hamilton, the ring announcer, introduced him. Broadcast team said that Cena is going to be on ESPN News on Thursday. Not a Wednesday thing. Must be, maybe there's college basketball or something that bumped it back. But yeah, John Cena will be on with Jonathan Coachman on ESPN News on Thursday. Then Randy Orton made his entrance. He had Bray Wyatt with him. And that's when they officially announced Luke Harper against Randy Orton for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Coming out of a commercial break, they told us the guests for Talking Smack, Nikki Bella, John Cena, Baron Corbin. You can check out the dead. Daniel Bryan was back as co-host with Renee Young. It's worth watching, if only for Daniel Bryan telling dick jokes. I don't think there's too many people that can get away with dick jokes quite like Daniel Bryan can. He just makes you laugh. He just got such a good sense of humor. And Renee Young, just just being basically turning red as Daniel Bryan, as she's laughing her ass off, trying to keep a straight face and failing miserably. She just couldn't do it. It was a good time. But the fourth match was the main event of the show, and it was John Cena defeating Randy Orton in 13:30. It's a non-title match, and We did. I mean, I don't know. The match started, and I'm just like, yeah, it's John Cena and Randy Orton again. And they tried to make a big. It's the first time ever on SmackDown Live. And great. We've seen it a million other times on other shows and pay-per-views, and this just didn't excite me. I said yesterday going in, I kind of wanted to see the match. I was looking forward to it just because I thought, based on Orton's comments, that the wrestlers were going to be motivated, that Cena and Orton are going to be motivated to go out there and have a good match. And I think they were. It's just Cena and Orton. I don't know. Maybe younger viewers, it feels like a big deal. I also wasn't crazy about the way this whole thing played out. They had Bray Wyatt in a rocking chair at ringside. And then down the stretch, you end up with Cena picking up Orton. Well, first you had Orton did kick out of the out of Cena's finisher, and then he Cena kicked out of the RKO. So they're trying to give you the kind of a pay-per-view special feel to this by having each guy kick out of the finisher. Wyatt gets to his feet and starts barking at the referee. Cena blocked a second RKO attempt, and then he hoists up Orton for his the attitude adjustment again. This time, as Orton's kind of trying to fight to get out of it, they bump the referee. And the referee is down. Cena puts Orton in the STF. Orton taps out immediately. He's just like, get me out of this thing. Ref is still out. Bray Wyatt runs in, and then he and Randy Orton put the boots to John Cena. Wyatt sets up for Sister Abigail. Cena breaks free, clotheslines Orton. Wyatt puts Cena down with Sister Abigail, and then Luke Harper runs out. He has a stare down with Wyatt, who just laughed, and then Wyatt started barking at Harper to leave. Harper teased leaving and then turned around and did his clothesline on Bray Wyatt. Fans cheer this. They're into Luke Harper. And then Orton went for an RKO, but Harper pushed him off, and then Cena ended up hitting the attitude adjustment on Orton. The ref magically recovers, and just as everybody leaves the ring, like, oh God, this is like hokey bad days of TNA finish here. But yeah, he magically recovers and counts the pin. Why am I supposed to be excited about Randy Orton as a Royal Rumble winner? This guy tapped when John Cena put him in the STF. So you can swell, it was outside interference that led to him losing from Luke Harper and all that. No, he tapped. John Cena put him in the STF and he tapped. If you really want to stretch him, well, it's strategy. He knew the referee was out. You're reaching. I wasn't excited when Randy Orton was rumored to win the Rumble. Not excited when he won the Rumble. Give them credit for the way they got the crowd to cheer by using Roman Reigns. I thought that was brilliant. But still not excited about Randy Orton, and even less excited coming out of this match. So the guy who's going to be challenging for the championship, even if it's not John Cena, which we don't expect it to be, we're supposed to be excited about Randy Orton challenging Bray Wyatt, whoever wins the Elimination Chamber match. We're supposed to be excited, and when he taps out instantly to John Cena's finisher, when he loses moments later, albeit with some outside interference, still. This didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me want to see Orton and Harper on Sunday. As far as like being just a go-home show, I give them credit in terms of consistently pushing the matches on this show. And we knew it would be semi-newsworthy just because there were only four matches advertised for the Chamber show going into this, and so they were going to have to announce some of the undercard matches, and they did give us three. But I just didn't feel like I got an effective Elimination Chamber match hype. Yeah, they gave us the four-way preview. Whoop-de-doo. John Cena beating Randy Orton main event. Bray Wyatt wasn't. Him and Luke Harper had their thing, but I don't feel like I wanted to hear something from the guys in the chamber. I wanted to. I guess I don't even know exactly what I was looking for, but I don't. I know I didn't get it on this edition of SmackDown. That said, it was still an entertaining edition of SmackDown. So it may not have clicked with me as far as a chamber match hype, but I thought there was consistent hype for the pay-per-view. It wasn't like you would leave this show not knowing there was a pay-per-view on Sunday. They were pretty good about driving that home. But I just, yeah, I so I was entertained by the show, just not left anxious to see the Elimination Chamber match, and I want to be. I think it's big, and not excited about the guy who won the Rumble and is supposedly main eventing WrestleMania. That kind of backfired. But that'll do it for now, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, you will be hearing Zach Zimmerman's NXT audio review, so you can catch up with Zach as he talks about the NXT television show. You can join him for live coverage tonight, as always, at ProWrestling.net. Well, I say always. He is covering this week's show. He is covering next week's show. And then due to some college courses that he's taking, he is going to be swapping with me and will be taking the 205 live spot. And I probably will end up covering NXT live. There's a chance. I may check with John Moore on that one to see if it's something he's interested in. Because otherwise, then I end up going 4 and 5 nights in a row with live coverage. That's a bitch. But to be honest with you, may decide, you know, I kind of like my Wednesday night free. We'll see how it goes. But definitely join Zach Zimmerman for live coverage of NXT tonight. And again, check back for his audio review here on the All Access side on Thursday. Thank you for listening, everybody. I will talk to you soon. Have a great day.